Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17:17. Several years ago, ESPN did a story called Carry On. Carry On. It's subtitled, "The One with No Legs Carried by the One Who Could Not See." It's the riveting story about the inseparable friendship of D'Artagnan Crockett and Leroy Sutton. Now, Leroy lost both legs from a train accident when he was 11 years old. D'Artagnan is legally blind from a congenital condition called Leber's disease. Both grew up in Cleveland. Both attended Lincoln West High School. Both wrestled. D'Artagnan carried Leroy to every match, and D'Artagnan sat mat-side every time Leroy wrestled. A powerful moment in this story came when Leroy and D'Artagnan graduated from high school together. Leroy always knew that he would graduate, but he had a bigger vision. He wanted to walk across the stage to receive his diploma. So when Leroy's name was called, D'Artagnan stood as well. Now, what would you do for a friend whom you had carried on your back all year long? You'd put him down and walk beside him, which is just what D'Artagnan did. He helped Leroy stand on his newly fitted prosthetic limbs, and then he accompanied his friend step by step, side by side, and they crossed the graduation stage together. Later, D'Artagnan said, "As long as I can remember, I've been carrying Leroy from point A to B to C, and graduation was the very first time I got to walk beside him. And it was my privilege. It was my honor." And Leroy's eyes moistened as he said, "It meant so much to me to know that I have a friend who's there to catch me if I ever stumbled." Leroy and D'Artagnan. Carry on. So these gentlemen, they capture the essence of biblical friendship, walking side by side together toward a common destiny. If you're new here for at Windsor Road, we've been in a summer series over the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And we've been learning throughout the book of Proverbs the spiritual skill of wisdom. That's right. Wisdom is a spiritual skill. It's a skill. It's a proficiency. It's a spiritual ability to think and speak and act like God in any place at the proper time. And it covers a variety of real-world situations, like wealth, like your words, like anger, like family, like leadership, decision-making, people skills. Being wise is never less than being moral or ethical, but it's always more, always. And today, I want us to consider what the book of Proverbs has to say about wise friendships, wise friendships. I want you to listen to these verses that I'm going to have up on the screen that come from Proverbs about the wisdom of biblical friendships. Proverbs 16:28, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." Whisperer has to do with gossiping. Proverbs 17:9, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." Proverbs 17:18, "One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor." What does that mean? That has to do with co-signing a loan for a friend. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Proverbs advises against that. Doesn't say it's sin, it just says it's not wise. Why? Because it changes the relationship. That's why. Proverbs 17:18. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 19:4, wealth brings many new friends. Imagine that. But a poor man is deserted by his friend. Proverbs 22:11, the one who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. Proverbs 25:17, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. I didn't write that. You already get it, don't you? Right? You understand that. Yeah. Proverbs 25:20, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. So sometimes we just need to know to sit with a friend. Yeah. Proverbs 27:5-6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 27:9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Proverbs 27:14, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. Use your indoor voice before 8 a.m., all right? Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another, or one woman sharpens another, you see. This is a very interesting and informative wisdom from Proverbs. Some of maybe you didn't know were in Proverbs, but it's there. And I suppose if I could summarize all of these Proverbs into one proverb, I would have us write down Proverbs 13:20, and it's simply this: he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Would you say that with me? He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. That's our big idea for the day. Here it is. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. But friends of fools suffer harm. It's not rocket science, is it, church? Your friendships can make you or break you. Your friendships can supply encouragement and strength and support and nourishment, or they will wreck you and be your undoing. Your friendships serve to bring you closer to Christ, or they'll keep you farther from Christ. If we want clear-headed judgment, we need friends who want that too. If we want to strengthen orthodox convictions of Scripture, we must seek friends who want that too. If we want to be merciful, we must associate with the merciful. This long weekend, Americans have been celebrating our independence, and we cherish freedom and individuality. And at the same time, our friendships are like indigo dyed denim, which bleeds all over our other clothes. And that's exactly what friendships do. You may claim freedom and independence and being someone who thinks for themselves and all that, but truth be told, your associations and their values and their convictions and their habits bleed all over you whether you know it or not. The color bleed of wisdom or folly cannot be stopped. So, if your life isn't going the way you wish it would, if you're not solving problems that you want solved or reaching the goals you've set, Proverbs challenges you to reconsider your associations. You probably didn't expect that, did you? Maybe you expected a minister guy to stand up and say, well, just be nice, let's pray. That's not what this says. This says, be wise. And could it be that perhaps your friendships, at least some of them, are stunting your spiritual and vocational growth? Could it be that your friendships are, at least some of them, deteriorating your character? Could it be that you gossip because you hang around gossips? Could it be that you fudge on the truth because you hang around with liars? Could it be that you act foolishly because you hang around fools? The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. A bad gang corrupts good character. And someone might say, well, that's judgmental, Pastor. Well, yeah, but what's being discriminated is neither the hue of one's skin nor the place of one's birth, rather the content of one's character. And that's why Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous chooses his friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leaves them astray. So righteous people know the difference between wisdom and folly, and they formed their friendships accordingly. Big idea. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. But friends of fools suffer harm. There it is. So the question then is, well, okay, well, what do you mean by wise friendship? What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I want us to consider four marks or character traits of wise biblical friendship. And here they are: purity, reliability, honesty, and sensitivity. These are some of the themes that you heard as I was reading these scriptures from Proverbs. And I can make those texts available. I can make this PowerPoint available to you so that you have a collection of these proverbs if you'd like. Purity, reliability, honesty, and sensitivity. Let's talk about each of them for just a minute. First, purity. Wise friendship consists of purity. Purity of heart. Proverbs 22:11. You heard that. The one who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. So there's a temptation to want friendship for the sake of friendship. So why do you want a friend? Because I need friendship. Well, we are image bearers who desire and who are created for community. That's true. And at the same time, you know, friends rarely talk about their friendship. Friends talk about what they share in common. Friends talk about their common vision and goals and aspirations. C.S. Lewis wrote an excellent book called The Four Loves, and one of those loves deals with friendship. And this is what he said. He said, you know, you're doing life and you're looking ahead to the future, and then you happen to meet someone and you discover commonalities and you both see the same truth and you both care about the same truth, and then you say, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. And that's the beginning of a friendship, you see. Lewis says this, a little tersely, but he makes his point. That's why those pathetic people who simply want friends can never make any. The very condition of having friends is that we should want something else besides friends. Friendship must be about something, even if it were only an enthusiasm for dominoes or white mice. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. That's good. That's good. So Proverbs 22:11 says that friends are about something. They're about a pure, authentic, and genuine heart. And they're about a gracious mouth, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there's integrity of heart, there's discretion of speech, and such qualities qualify for the king's friend. Because isn't that what a king is looking for? Looking for someone who has a pure heart that just wants to love, not for any ulterior motives, and then one with a discreet tongue. So if you're looking for biblical friendship, start by becoming the kind of friend that the King of Kings would want. Purity. Purity. That's ingredient number one. Ingredient number two is this: reliability. Wise friendship consists of reliability. We read that in Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, good times, bad times, routine times, times of adversity. You need reliability to be a friend, Proverbs says. And reliability means being there when the chips are down. Reliability means that I will not let you go to ruin. Reliability means I am committed to you. Reliability means it doesn't matter where you live and what you drive and what school you attended. I'm here for you. Reliability. Have you all seen Tolkien's, or maybe you've read the book, Lord of the Rings? Yeah. Our younger son, Brandon, was with us this past week, and his mother said, "Sweetheart, what would you like to do this week?" And Brandon said, without blinking, "Well, Mom, I would love it if you and Dad could watch the extended version of Lord of the Rings." And Sarah said this to me, because he always talks to her, right? Me, I don't know. She's the better mom. I said, "Come again? What's he want?" And that's what we did, you know? That's what we did. Now, my wife is like a Jane Austen Sense and Sensibility fan, okay? And that's not Lord of the Rings. There's goblins and slime and just messy teeth, because that's an orc, right? So, but we did. And you know, I'm glad I did, because now I have something to talk about here this morning. But the Lord of the Rings is about friendship, right? It is. It's about friendship. Samwise Gamgee is Frodo the Hobbit's reliable friend. And in one scene, Frodo and Sam, you know, they're struggling up Mount Doom because that ring has got to get deposited in the mountain with the fire and so forth, and only Frodo can carry the ring. And Sam, they're struggling up, can't go any further, and Sam proceeds to carry him up the mountain. There it is. And Sam professes that while he cannot carry the ring, he can carry the ring bearer. I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. That's a friend, see? Reliable. And that means that the very nature of friendship's commitment automatically narrows the number of friends you can have. I mean, Samwise Gamgee can carry one friend. Okay? One friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So according to Proverbs 18:24, you will have different grades, I'll just use that word, grades of associations. And this is, to Proverbs, this is normal. While you may have many companions, you'll only have a few friends. So, now, there's a difference between Christian charity and biblical friendship. Christian charity is to all. It's to all. Biblical friendship is for the few. Why? Well, because, I mean, it's just the capacity. We have only so much capacity. And a true friend is one with whom you have no qualms about trusting your heart and all its contents. You see, companions, they may want to associate with you But they may not want to see all the warts behind your last mask. But a true friend says, you take off that last mask, I'm going to love you, warts and all. A reliable friend doesn't make you a means to their end. They just love you because that's what love does. And a reliable friend says, I won't let you get to the bottom. You can count on me even when it costs. See? Do you have someone in your life like that? Are you someone in someone else's life like that? See? Purity, reliability, honesty. Wise friendships exhibit honesty. That's why we read in Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Now, notice what's being associated with here. An open rebuke is being connected with wounds, and hidden love is being connected with kisses of an enemy. So, Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 tell us about the friend who looks you in the eye and says, here are my best thoughts. Here's what I see in your life. Here's what it's like to be with you. Here's what you said that was important. Here's what you said that was a delight. Here's what you said that was dark and self-centered. Here's what you said that's just flat wrong. And in wise friendships, occasionally, one will at times surgically wound the other. Out of love, one will say things that you may not want to hear, but need to know to help you be wise. You need a friend who does more than let you be yourself with them. See, we say, well, I like this friend because I can just be myself with them. What you really need is a friend who will help you be a better version of yourself, who will challenge you. You need the friendship of mutual sharpening, right? And that's where we get, and remember that phrase in Proverbs 27, 17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now that is a true and crisp statement. But let's lean into that for a minute. What happens when iron sharpens iron? There's friction, sparks, clashing, clanging, striking. You should want a friend whose opinions and insight and love will occasionally clash with yours. See, a friend who can, you know, play the devil's advocate, to be a contrarian, who can look you in the eye and said, have you really thought this through? Do you really see the whole picture? Have you really considered looking at it in every other way possible? And why this doesn't happen more than it should? Perhaps because I'm afraid of hurting your feelings. When in fact, I'm actually afraid of having my feelings hurt after you get mad at me for telling you what you need to know. Right? It seems counterintuitive to seek friendships where there's going to be words that wound. But the alternative? Well, the alternative, according to Proverbs, is hidden love. So if I just say what you want to hear, I'm no better than Judas who betrayed our Lord with a kiss, you see. If we don't value honesty, one of two things will happen. We will be hypersensitive to the helpful critique of others, and thus always losing friends, or we will fear critiquing others and be a useless friend. Purity, reliability, honesty, and fourth, sensitivity. Sensitivity. Proverbs 25, 16, and 17. We kind of giggled when we heard this, but it's... If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Let your foot seldom be in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. I love honey. honey's really good, especially in Solomon's day. They didn't have agave, stevia, refined sugar. It was honey. What a delight. What a delight. And what at first can seem to be a delight can become too much of a good thing. You get the point? Friends are like honey. A little can go a long ways. And so wise friends give space. Wise friends can give privacy. Wise friends don't have to be constantly calling or texting or showing up. There's a time to get together, and there's a time to go home. And there's timing as to the manner of our interactions. That's what we heard in Proverbs 27:14. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Early in the morning, wrong timing. Loud voice, wrong manner. And then sensitivity also means that we know and can see that our friends are having a bad day, and we let them have a bad day. We let them have a bad day. Proverbs 25:20, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. So back then you would cover a wound, you wouldn't expose it to the cold, and you would soothe it with balm or with oil, not with acid. Okay. And the point is that a wise friend can quickly read the emotional temperature of his or her friend and respond accordingly in wisdom. Purity, reliability, honesty, sensitivity. Four marks of a friendship, of a biblical friendship. And someone may be sitting here today and may be thinking, well, I wish I had that. I wish someone would be my friend. I want that, if only I could have that. As your pastor who loves you, let me lovingly wound you. Is your heart pure? Are you reliable? Are you honest? Do you keep confidences? Do you respect boundaries? Do you know God? Because you don't attract who you want to be, you attract who you are. And furthermore, this idea of attracting implies something passive, right? Like others have to come to you. Beloved, don't assume that if enough time passes, some made-to-order friends are going to materialize on your front porch wanting to do life together. It doesn't work that way. You have to take a risk. You have to walk across the room. You have to enter the world into another. I think the most touching part of D'Artagnan's and Leroy's story was not just their friendship, but the friendship that was formed by the producer of the story. Her name is Lisa Fenn, and she later wrote a book based on this documentary, a book by the title Carry On. You see, after the filming, Lisa stayed in their lives, and these young men became more than subjects of a human interest story. They affected her. At first, she was a companion, but then she became a friend. D'Artagnan asked her about it one time, saying, "Why did you stay?" Lisa said, "Because I love you." "But why did you stick around and do everything you did?" And by that, he meant the time that Lisa drove D'Artagnan to the dentist for the first of 15 cavities, or when she taught Leroy how to pay a bill, or when she sat with D'Artagnan at the Social Security office to apply for disability benefits, something he could have received all his life had anyone submitted the forms for him. Or when she soothed the burn of Leroy's broken heart and phantom limbs. Lisa said, "I think D'Artagnan had waited his entire life for someone to want to know him and to truly see him. And I think Leroy had been emotionally abandoned too many times before." Lisa said, "So I stayed because they began to believe that I actually cared. I stayed because I would not be the next on the list of people who walked out of their lives. I stayed because things like this shouldn't happen to kids like them. I stayed because faith and love and hope and rejoicing can happen to kids like them. Lisa said, I stayed because we only get one life and we don't truly live that life until we give it away. I stayed because we can change the world only when we enter into another's world. She said, I stayed because of love. Now, we're in a church, and I'm a pastor, and this is a pulpit. Who does that remind you of? When the Apostle Paul was put on trial before Caesar, all of his friends abandoned him. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:17, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. The Lord. Real friends are not found in quantity, but quality. And no one offers us higher quality than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are His body, His presence, filled by His Spirit, so that when we go to enter the life and the world of another, we enter in His name, and His presence is there. Thanks be to God. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. Walk with Christ. No one is wiser. John 15:13 said, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. When Jesus laid down his life for his friends at the cross, Jesus was forsaken. He who was pure took on our impurity. He who was reliable became abandoned so that we could never be forsaken. He was the offended brother, but he opened the castle of his heart. We put our feet frequently in his house, but he never, ever wishes that we would go away. Guess what you have in common with Christ? Everything you care about the most. He cares about you. He cares about our sin. He cares about our future. He thinks about us. He understands us. He loves us. We are not alone. He is here. You can receive Him now. Jesus said in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Will you let the eternal friendship with Jesus begin in your life today? Let's pray.